Welcome back to the Moms That Say It All Wrong But Want to Get It Right. My name is Shauna, and I am the mother of a non-binary child who uses the pronouns they, them.
And I'm Jen. I am the mother of a gender-fluid child who uses the pronouns she, they.
Fabulous. And they're fabulous children. We are on part two of the fishbowl, in which we have allowed our children to talk together and create questions for their mothers. We have not seen these questions, so you are going to hear our first reaction to said questions. We're going to take it from there. We have talked about in our first show that we did with the questions how easy it would be to dive in deeper. And I think as we continue with questions, we will continue with that. So if there is something that strikes you in our answer or in the question, please make sure to write those in the comments.
And if you have questions or your children have questions, please add those to the comments as well. And anything that we can do to help and grow is our goal.
And say it wrong. Or no, we're trying to say it right. All right, so for our first question, how has your childhood growing up affected how you parent? Are there moments from your childhood that you believe gave you an advantage or a disadvantage?
That's a really good question, and I don't know. I mean, a pivotal moment for me growing up in the 70s was, I remember my parents were never children or seen and not heard, thankfully, but they were because I said so generation. I remember being a teenager, 16, 17, and wanting to go out, and my mom just saying, can you please not tonight? I'm just so exhausted, and you know I'm not going to sleep or rest or relax until I know you're home safe. And I said, absolutely. And I called my friends and my mom, and I stayed in and fell asleep watching a movie. For me, my mom just being honest and being human and being real with me. Instead of telling me how it is or not making my own choices, she was just real. And of course, I had a great time that night with my mom. That's the biggest lesson that I remember growing up is just that, you know, wow, my parents are human. I've always tried to treat my children as their own individuals. They're nothing alike. They're nothing like any other person I know. That's the advantage of what I learned from my parents. I also grew up on food stamps and other things, so knowing that I could do with a whole lot less than what I have is a complete advantage. A disadvantage? Can't think of anything in particular that made me a disadvantage as a parent, so I don't really have a good answer.
I think that's a real answer. When I was growing up, I grew up in the church. The church that I grew up in was very much being gay was against God. And I remember at a young age going, no, that doesn't make sense to me. My parents and my grandparents were very much followers of what does the word say. And I am grateful that my mom did allow me to have a voice and did allow me to disagree with something that was supposed to be an absolute. So as an advantage for being a parent, I have allowed my child to disagree. And I remember growing up and I'd get myself into trouble. And the one thing that my mom always would say is, do you have something that you want to share? And she always reminded me that her parents never gave her the opportunity. So it was always, here's the rule, this is what you did wrong, conversation is over. And she did open that door to say, is there anything that you want to say? And the thing I remember as a child is when I was put on the spot, typically I was crying because I was in trouble. I couldn't come up with anything in the moment. And I couldn't answer her when she would ask me, is there something you want to say? So what I have tried to do as a parent is I still open that door up of, is there something that you want to say? And I see the same fear or the same, I don't know what I want to say, look in my child's eyes or the tears coming down and it's not the right moment. I've tried to extend that offer of, is there something that you want to say about the conversation we had last night or last week? There's not an expiration on when you get to share your feelings. And again, when I was younger, I felt like there was an expiration. Like I had 30 seconds to come up with something. And if I didn't come up with something, it was no longer allowed to be talked about. And so I've tried to change that with my child so that my child feels like for the most part, we can talk about it whenever we want to talk about it. I did have grandparents and I did have adults that there was often children were to be seen and not heard. I have tried to make that so that that is not the case. However, with the older generation, sometimes the way that it's approached or I'm going to disagree with an adult can appear to be disrespectful. So I haven't done a great job of teaching my child, how do you respectfully disagree with your elders? It's been an open door in our house, or I don't know if open door is the right word, but we have conversations at dinner. We talk politics. We talk religion. There is nothing that is off limits at our dinner table. However, we have to respect that there are limits at other dinner tables. And how do we navigate that? I haven't done a great job of teaching my child until you know your surroundings and you know who you're diving into those conversations with, how to navigate that. So I don't know if that's the way I was raised or just my inability to figure that out as a parent as we're moving through this journey.
Well, I don't think we had the opportunity of being in some of the children are seen or not heard, or you don't talk back to your elders. We never learned how to do that with certain people, so we don't have the skills to teach. So I guess there's a disadvantage right there.
Right. And I want our kids to be able to, or and myself, to be able to have a good debate and a good conversation. But there's those entry points, and there's those people that you just don't have those conversations with because they see it one way and they're not willing to see it another way. So how do you navigate that? I think that's a whole nother show.
Yeah. Debating versus arguing, and every single one of these questions is a whole nother show.
So on to question number two.
All right. So the next question from the kids is, what is your greatest worry for your child?
That is a loaded question because I have lots of worries for my child. I think we talked about in the previous podcast, my first worry was how this would impact certain relationships that she has with either other family members or family friends. The other worry that I have for my child is that they go to a very, very conservative school. I want my child to have a fabulous high school experience. I know that all of us have had hiccups in high school, and if I had to go relive it, I wouldn't. I don't want my child to feel like a complete outcast because of how conservative their school is. I want my child to have friends at school that she sees every day. I know that they have made connections outside of school, and I know that they have some strong connections outside of school, but it's not every day. It's who are you gonna sit with and have lunch? I don't want my child to be lonely. That's probably my biggest fear right now.
And my child is 20, going to college, in a different kind of a life cycle right now. Thankfully, they have good friends that are very supportive and will stick with them no matter what. I think my fears go into a much darker place that I'm not really ready to voice, but they're all harmful. You know, other people who don't care about who she is, what there is to offer, other things about them that just see one thing and wish harm. That's my fear for the outside world, and then what harm I'm doing by not saying the right things, by not learning from my mistakes, by not listening. My greatest fear is that I'm the one that's probably hurt her the most. That's my biggest worry, is that I won't get better and be everything that I need to be, as much as I can be. For myself, for her, for my family, for my friends. I believe they can take on the world. I just don't want to be any part of the negative of that.
That literally brought a tear to my eye because I have that same fear. I just wasn't able to articulate it as beautifully as you did, because I too don't want to say the wrong thing and don't want to send them spiraling down into a path that I caused, or a depression that I caused. So thank you for sharing that. Now on to our next question.
It's a long one. Perfect segue. Knowing what you know now about your child, is there anything that you would go back and do differently if you could? Absolutely. What is something that you would have done differently in another situation? That's basically what I'm summing it up. Can I pick one situation that I could point out what I would have done differently?
I will start. I plan on going into this deeper in another show, but during the first conversations that my child and I were having about the LGBTQIA plus community, we talked about, did I believe that people made the choice to be a part of the LGBTQIA plus community? I said, no, I don't think that it's a choice. I don't think that you choose who you're attracted to or how you feel about who you are. I think that it's just part of who you are. I think that you're born that way and that you're going down a path. I do believe that there are folks who were born thinking or feeling a different way, and they had something happen to them that altered their path, something horrific. And my child had something horrific happen to her in second grade. And I remember sharing with them before they came out that my biggest fear was that someone else had changed their path. I will support the path wherever it goes. However, I was concerned that the path was going one way and that this life event that somebody else did had changed that path. I think at that moment, they were going to tell me, but because I said that, they did not. And it was 4 or 5 months later that they came out and did say that they were gay and wanted to know how I felt. And I repeated the same thing that I had said before, that I will support them no matter what. I didn't know if I had done the right thing when they were in second grade, if I hadn't gotten them enough help, I hadn't done all of these things to prevent the path from changing. Well, that insinuated that the path was wrong. And in their eyes, I was upset because somebody sent them down the wrong path. And that was never my intent. We're going to go, this dives into so many other things that we're going to go into deeper later. That was never, ever my intent. My intent was, people are born feeling and going down paths all the time. I don't think it's fair for someone else to change the path, but I shouldn't care about how they got on this path. This is the path that they are on. This is the path that they want to be on. I need to support the path. My child came back and said, you've got to stop saying that. You've got to stop wondering. We can't go back. We'll never know. So here's my path. Let's not dive into how I got to this path. And so if I could go back, I'm not saying that I wouldn't have thought it, because I would have. I have voiced it, and I would probably still voice it to my girlfriends. I probably would still voice it here on this podcast just to let other parents know how I felt, so that if there's another parent out there, they wouldn't feel alone in feeling that way. However, what I want my child to know is that I don't care now how or why we got to this path. We are on this path, and I am here to help continue down the path.
Wow. That's kind of the crux of it all, is what would I have done differently? Listened more, talked less, maybe asked more questions instead of voicing my opinions, making sure that whatever message I intended to say was what got through. My child let me know about the first time that they talked to me about anything on this subject matter, that my response was, I'm not ready to lose my little girl yet. While it was true, while it was my truth, but at the time, they were 11 or 12, I could have been more supportive. Now there's the recognition that I needed to go through a mourning period too, because their entire life I had this kind of vision, but I also had respect that it's their life. My goal as a parent was always to raise my children to be happy, that success is what they determine it to be. It's not wealth. It's not a good job of whatever it is. Success is theirs to define, and that they can live without me because I won't always be here. Listen more, make sure. Communication. If you were saying the wrong things or we misunderstand each other, it can go bad quick. Listen more, make sure that your intent is what it is. If I could go back and change one thing, it would have been to explain myself a little bit better, not to excuse it, so that we both were on the same page, that there was nothing wrong with the path that was being taken.
Right.
I needed my hand held a little bit to go along on the same path.
All right, and for our last question for this session, why did you start a podcast?
All of the above. everything we've been talking about, because our children are important to us. If we're having these struggles, and I feel that we are very fortunate, we have great relationships with our kids, with my, I do with my entire family, and I still get so much wrong. I don't want to say safety in numbers, but there's wisdom of numbers. There's wisdom, I don't know. I need help. I know I'm not the only one who needs help. If I can be an example of what not to do so that someone else does it better, I'm all for that too. We only grow through adversity, through uncomfortability. This is worth it. Every bit of being uncomfortable and being out of my element and not where I'm used to being. It's, everything is worth it.
For me, I actually had a dream that we were doing this podcast after lots and lots of really hard conversations where I didn't feel like I had not even the right answer, but a good answer. I felt like I was kind of being a crappy mom. I wanted to figure out how to be better. And so I called you and said, here's what I'm thinking. What do you think? And you jumped on board, and it went back to, how do we help other people, and how do we improve who we are? How do we show that vulnerability to other folks? Because that's the other way that you grow, is through being willing to be vulnerable, being willing to share your struggles and the things that you've done wrong, and go, you know what, I know I didn't do it right that way. I'm willing to try to figure out a better way, but I don't know that better way yet. At our house, we always use the saying that you do the best you can until you know better, and then you do better. However, you can't learn to be better if you don't take that step to figure out how to be better. And so that's part of why we wanted to do this and why we wanted to dive in. And there's lots of conversations that we're going to have that we've already had that are super controversial. There's going to be lots of opinions. And we went back and forth on, do we want to take on those opinions? I think for us, it's not necessarily we're going to change our opinions, but we want to hear what other folks have to say. We shared the idea with our children to say, what do you think? Because we're going to share, this is our story, and we're going to talk about the difference between our story and their story, and who gets to share the story, and how does that look? And this is our story, but it's about a very important part of their lives. And so we went to them and said, what do you think? And are you okay if we share our journey that's closely related to your journey? And they said, absolutely. We thought that through this, we could help others out there and continue to grow.
We hope that you will join us with the rest of our journeys and everything. Again, we're going to have shows coming up like The Dad's Eye View. What's their perspective and their relationship with their kids? The Axe Forgets, and the other half of that is But the Tree Never Does. The true stories about things we've said and how they were taken. The stories are not the same. It's like being in a different room.
Right. We're going to dive into religion and again how that has impacted our lives and the paths that we're on. We're going to talk about how we have helped our children with their journey and deciding who do you tell, who do you not tell, when do you tell, when do you not tell. And we're going to talk very soon to our children about when they came out to us and their perspective versus our perspective. We think that people were in different rooms because the perspectives are insanely different.
Absolutely. So until next time, hey, let's keep loving our children, loving ourselves, counting our blessings, and just trying to say it right.